are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeter. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter.
The destiny of America is always safer in the hands of the people than in the conference rooms of any elite.
Sam Steeter.
They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter.
Ever get the feeling you've been cheated?
It is Wednesday, May 25th, 2016. My name is Sam Steeter. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. Just heard that, heartland in America. On the program today, Washington State primary last night. Largely symbolic, but it may be symbolic. Meanwhile, anti-Trump protesters clash with cops. The Republicans mull an overhaul of their primaries. I wonder why. Paul Ryan, in or out, putting on a production of Hamlet. Is Debbie Wasserman Schultz finally bye-bye? And nothing could be more libertarian than this. A libertarian Trump-supporting billionaire is behind a series of Gawker lawsuits hoping to shut the publication down. In Ohio, a federal court blocks voter suppression measures. And is Donald Trump's hair a $60,000 weave? We'll get to that story about the CIA whistleblower, Inspector General, as well. But going to have some fun today. That weave thing could be a big deal, ladies and gentlemen. A really big deal. I actually think it is one of the... I think... If they figure out, if the Democrats figure out a way of defeating the weave... And maybe just unleashing his hair, like on a debate. I don't know what that would be involved, but creating some type of static cling or something like that, where his hair just stands up on its head during a debate. I think that's the end of Donald Trump. All right, well, let's start. We've got some sound. We're probably going to do a teaser Wednesday today, ladies and gentlemen, as we have no guest. Just a reminder... You can get this program commercial-free, but for my pleas for membership and Just Coffee, which is sort of like a long-time sponsor, by becoming a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. All right, let's go first to this, because I don't know. Did you know, Matt, did you know who this guy was? Were you familiar with Charlie Daniels?
I kind of get him confused with the guy who sings Monday Night Football.
Because, yeah, Lee Greenwood. Back when I was a child, Charlie Daniels had a very popular song that was very popular amongst kids. I know, I can't remember when this came out, but I was definitely in elementary school. And I think that is worth noting, that I think that that when a guy makes a song that's really popular with elementary school kids, it gives you a notion of the level in which things are working at in terms of his music. But Charlie Daniels, quite a fiddle player, I think. Let's hear a little bit of Charlie Daniels. Yeah. Now, I don't know if that's actually him, but it was a story about a really good fiddle player. Maybe Charlie Daniels is that fiddle player.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal.
Yeah.
He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal.
Yeah, okay. So that's a good tale. I would recommend you look that up.
I know the song from Guitar Hero.
Oh, all right. Well, there you have it.
But I feel like I've heard that song. I feel like I've heard that song a million times at the Irish pubs I've worked at. I don't know why.
That's a weird place to have it.
Well, there's fiddles.
All right. Well, let's get to this because this is important stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, the NRA has a message for all you turban-wearing ayatollahs, I guess. And it's from Charlie Daniels.
To the ayatollahs of Iran and every terrorist you enable, listen up. You might have met our fresh-faced flower child president and his weak-kneed Ivy League friends. But you haven't met America. You haven't met the heartland, where the people will defend this nation with their bloody, calloused, bare hands. That's what it takes. You haven't met the steel workers and the hard rock miners or the swamp folks in Cajun country who can wrestle a full-grown gator out of the water. You haven't met the farmers, the cowboys, the loggers, and the truck drivers. You don't know the mountain men who live off the land or the brave cops who fight the good fight in the urban war zones. No, you've never met America. And you ought to pray you never do. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
That's right. A couple of things I want to just point out for you. Do we really have that many mountain men who are just living off the land still? I wonder how many of those Charlie Daniels has actually met, the mountain men who live off. And do we have any backup music? Because I want to do my version too. Like, did you have that? Because, go ahead, play a little bit. Let me do that. I want to do the, you better hope you never meet our cops who work in urban warfare zones that would remind you of like places like Beirut or other places in which you are. Like, they're reminiscent of places that you live in 24/7. Just imagine being in an urban war zone that is bombed with like a drone, for instance. That's almost what it's like here for our urban zones. Not quite. You better hope that you never find the peace and the ability to drive on your roads like our truck drivers without possible drone strikes. Or it will be okay. Let's You never met a guy who wrestled with an alligator, though. That would scare your pants off you. Unless you had a gun. Oh, I guess that's the point. NRA. All right. Take that, non-freedom lovers.
Have you ever heard a shot fired in anger? Oh, you have?
Only thing that can stop a bad guy with a gun is a guy who wrestles alligators or lives off the land in a mountain. I really honestly think that everything that one could say that is critical of America is probably wrapped up into that video. That is 60 seconds of just pure everything that's wrong with America, starting with morons who have no sense of who they're talking to. You have no idea, terrorist lovers, what it feels to drive a truck. I mean, like a truck, a really big truck on roads that are fully funded by taxpayers and maintained. Or what about loggers? They use chainsaws. And what was the other? Let's play that again. It's only 1 minute.
The Ayatollahs of Iran and every terrorist you enable. Listen up. You might have met our fresh-faced flower child president and his weak-kneed Ivy League friends.
Pause it. Your weak-kneed Ivy League friends. I bet you've only met them. I bet you've never attended a baby Ivy League school or perhaps a community college or even just a high school.
Bet you've never learned a trade.
You probably conjure up your stuff there by magic. Bet you're just so used to all your fresh-faced people. Go ahead.
But you haven't met America. You haven't met the heartland, where the people will defend this nation with their bloody, calloused, bare hands.
Pause it. That's what it takes. They don't wear gloves in the heartland. Keep that in mind. Glove wearers.
You haven't met the steel workers and the hard rock miners or the swamp folks in Cajun country who can wrestle a full-grown gator out of the water. You haven't met the farmers.
Pause it. How many of those people do you think there are? I mean, that actually can actually wrestle a full-grown gator out. Are we talking millions?
Out of the water is tough because that's their habitat.
Right. Millions?
Close to none, I don't think.
No, I mean,
alligators?
Let's be honest. Now, there's probably, I would think, like...
A dozen?
Dozens. You haven't met...
That's really
close
to none.
Out of the 300 million people in this country, there's 12 of them you haven't met. What are you going to do about that?
I don't know if those skills necessarily translate into a war zone either.
Well, actually... Iran, their Quds force. Quds, apparently, is Persian for alligators.
Cowboys, the loggers, and the truck drivers. You don't know the mountain men who live off the land or the brave cops who fight the good fight in the urban war zones. No, you've never met America.
No.
And you ought to pray you never do.
Pause it. Fortunately, you probably met the teachers and the doctors, but they're fresh-faced.
I think
what about the actors or the musicians?
What about the people who can do a minute-long voiceover and without breaking into a
pants? Have you ever met an accountant? Bet you never met an accountant or an insurance adjuster.
I think the term met or meet might be a little bit off and confusing for these Ayatollahs.
Have you ever met anybody who's ever worked in a restaurant?
The terrorists aren't concerned with meeting people. They're just going to kill them.
Well, the Ayatollahs are. They want to go around. They're
meet them.
Very social. You probably gotten very few likes on your Facebook page. Your LinkedIn profile. Bet you never met a gaffer like this guy right off the camera, right? Or DP, except for the people who make movies in your place. What about a media buyer? What about a media broker? How about a government affairs representative? Someone from the Creative Coalition who set me up with this gig. What about an A&R representative? Bet you never met one of those. Wow, that guy. Your modern day NRA, ladies and gentlemen, they sponsor the killing of toddlers. You ever met a 3-year-old who's willing to shoot his 4-year-old friend? I mean, by mistake. Bet you never met a dad who felt bad about leaving his gun out. I want to try and transition into this. Last night, ladies and gentlemen, I went to bed wearing my first pair ever of me undies. Yes. I've never told anyone this on air. Maybe I have. But I'm a boxer brief guy. Now, I think you're aware of this, but whether you're wearing a suit or sweats, you spend almost 24 hours a day in your underwear. I mean, hopefully at one point over the course of that day, you change them. But instead of making a statement like Superman's tights under his everyday clothes, your underwear is probably boring. Well, MeUndies is here to change that. Now, I have to say that my underwear is pretty boring, and I buy it in packs of six, or I did. Packs of six, and they wear out within a number of months, and they get holes in them, and then they fall apart. Then I throw them away. Like I say, last night, I went to bed wearing a pair of MeUndies. I was wearing the boxers, but I am a boxer brief guy. I do have a pair of the boxer briefs. They are fantastic. And I will say this, it is a strange sensation to wear these this underwear. And Matt's shaking his head because when we were talking about this, okay, they're made out of Modal, which is a sustainably sourced fabric that's twice as soft as cotton. It sort of feels like, I mean, I don't wear anything silk. But it sort of feels almost silky, and it's weird because you put them on and you sort of feel like you're not wearing anything, but you feel like you're getting supported. And it's nice because I can wear them under, you know, I'm getting a little pressure to wear pants that are a little bit more, you know, they're not baggy pants. I like to wear Carhartts, and I've been getting a little pressure to wear other pants, and these are very sheer underneath there. And when I told Matt about these being Modal, what did you say?
Well, I've been hip to the Modal for a while. This is going back to...
He literally said that.
February 3rd, 2012, I said... I tweeted this. I'm going to make sure I'm in the 1% as far as Modal underwear is concerned.
He literally just whipped out his phone to talk about a tweet. Such a strange thing, but I have to say, they are incredibly comfortable. And here's the amazing thing about MeUndies. If you don't like your first pair, they're free. No questions asked. MeUndies has dozens of styles and limited edition prints to help you make a statement with your underwear, whether anyone can see them or not. Remember Superman. Now, I have to say, the ones that I'm more partial to are just like solid colors. I'm not that exciting. It's enough for me to actually feel comfortable and feel like my underwear are quality and are going to last, and they feel good. Shipping is completely free in U.S. and Canada. And you can save up to $8 a pair with the MeUndies subscription plan. You can get the subscription plan or a single pair. You get 20% off your first order when you go to MeUndies.com/majority. That's MeUndies, MeUndies.com/majority for 20% off your first order. MeUndies.com/majority. And you can join me in feeling like, I don't know, there's a little bit of pep to me today. And I think that's because of my underwear.
Can you IM me that tweet, Matt? I'm going to need to retweet that. Majority Report.
Modal. He literally did say to me, like, and I was saying, like, what is this Modal stuff when I was reading about it? And he's like, oh, I've been on the Modal thing for a couple of years.
It's high tech.
Yeah, it is. All right, let's get into this because there's some pretty interesting things that are happening right now in terms of Trump on both the Democratic side and the Republican side. Elizabeth Warren, right, she's being bandied about for a vice presidential pick, at least in terms of the Clinton campaign. Now, the campaign is not over. The Democratic primary is not over. And I will tell you how this plays out, or at least why I say it. I got a text today from somebody, from a buddy of mine, who said, is there basically a 0% chance of Elizabeth Warren being named vice president by Hillary Clinton. And my response is indicative of why Bernie Sanders is still running. Now, last night in Washington State, there was a primary. Of course, Donald Trump won big because nobody else is running against him. On the Democratic side, there was a vote, but it was irrelevant. They had the caucus in March. Sanders cleaned up there. I think he got like 75% to 25%, maybe more, bigger in terms of the delegate splits. There was about 20, 30,000 people involved in that caucus. Last night, 600,000-700,000 people voted. There were other elections on the ballot. They just put a check off for the presidential race. And it's, like I say, it's non-binding. But Clinton won. Not huge. I don't know, 5-10 points. It doesn't matter, really. But the point is that even though that vote is irrelevant in terms of the delegate count, it sends a message to the Clinton people, a different message than if it was Bernie Sanders, 75% of 700,000 people voting. And California is going to make a big difference in terms of whether or not the Clinton campaign feels that they are in desperate need, as opposed to just need, because it's quite clear. I mean, look, at the end of this, even if Clinton wins in California or in the states that follow, or at the convention, it doesn't matter. It's quite clear that 45% of the Democratic Party, at a minimum, was supportive of Bernie Sanders. They're going to have to reach out to these people because they have a project, and that project is they're trying to win in the general election. The question is, how much do they have to reach out? How far? How desperate are they? How much leverage does Bernie Sanders have? And that leverage comes from how many votes he gets. And not so much how much leverage Bernie Sanders has, but how much leverage do the force that he represents, how much leverage do they have? So if Hillary Clinton is to lose California by any margin, and particularly a significant margin, even if it doesn't inhibit her ability to get the majority of pledged delegates at the end of the race, that's going to send a signal to the Clinton people and to just the Democratic Party at large, like, wow, she really needs to bring these people along. Desperately needs to. And then the idea of her picking someone like Elizabeth Warren is more likely. It's not necessarily likely, it's more likely. And the reason why it's a big, it would be an issue for her to pick Elizabeth Warren is because there's no way Elizabeth Warren is going to do it unless she gets some assurances that her portfolio is going to be possibly unprecedented in terms of what a vice president could get their hands involved in terms of policy. And how much leeway she would have. I mean, that's a deal that I think it's almost impossible to imagine being made unless Hillary Clinton feels like I'm in serious trouble. Obvious, serious trouble. If I don't do something really big to bring along that part of the Democratic Party. So, while Washington State was irrelevant, it's not irrelevant. And it's why California is so important. this is all about, and later I'm going to play a clip that where Noam Chomsky is talking about the structural dynamics and the pressures on legislation. And it works largely like what we've just talked about, at least on one side of the equation. Meanwhile, here is Elizabeth Warren going directly at Donald Trump. And I got to say, like, it never really occurred to me that Elizabeth Warren would enjoy this stuff. But it's quite clear when you hear Elizabeth Warren going after Trump that she's enjoying this. I mean, she clearly has the stomach for going at people. I mean, we've seen that in hearings. But she seems to enjoy this. She gave a 10-minute speech last night. We'll play a couple minutes of it right here. That was, it was impressive, but also fun. This is Elizabeth Warren from the Center for Popular Democracy's annual gala in D.C.
Last week, he said that the new Dodd-Frank financial regulations have, and I'm going to quote here, made it impossible for bankers to function. And he will put out a new plan soon that, quote, will be close to dismantling Dodd-Frank. Donald Trump is worried about helping poor little Wall Street. Let me find the world's smallest violin to play a sad, sad song. No, really. Can Donald Trump even name three things about Dodd-Frank? Someone should ask, right? But this much, Donald Trump should know. If he is so tough on Wall Street, then he should be cheering on Dodd-Frank's capital and leverage requirements that have made the big banks less likely to fail. If he is so tough on Wall Street, he should be cheering on Dodd-Frank's living wills process, which has helped push big banks to become safer. If he is so tough on Wall Street, he should be cheering on the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which has forced those big banks to return $11 billion directly to people they cheated. He should be, but he is not. Now that he has sewn up the Republican nomination, Donald Trump is dropping all pretense. He's kissing the fannies of the poor, misunderstood Wall Street bankers. But the American people are a whole lot smarter than Donald Trump thinks they are. The American people are not looking for a bait and switch. They are not looking for a man so desperate for power that he will say or do anything to get elected. You know, take the hint, Donald. The time for letting big banks call all the shots in Washington, it's over.
I'll tell you what's so brilliant about these. I mean, that's 2 minutes. And you think about all the things that she does there. In addition to belittling him, calling him a fanny kisser, in addition to articulating important parts that she perceives are important about Dodd-Frank, she's basically forcing Hillary Clinton to support those things and trumpet those things. She knows that Hillary Clinton has some liabilities in terms of the banks too. And on some level, you know, she's made her peace with that element of it. Look, there's problems. I mean, she is not, as far as I know, she hasn't officially endorsed anybody so she's basically putting out there like, look, I want to see these planks here. I want you as the Democratic nominee. I think she's fairly confident that Bernie Sanders, if he ends up being it, will be it. But whoever that Democratic nominee is, these are the grounds I'm setting for you. The parameters are from where you attack Donald Trump. But it's not just about attacking Donald Trump. It's upholding certain principles and promoting certain principles simultaneously. There's so much work she's getting done in those 2 minutes. And it doesn't feel like she's getting work there. She didn't feel like she is throwing down the gauntlet in four different directions. I mean, this is someone who is incredibly savvy. And savvy not just, I mean, she's both addressing sort of the inside and the outside game there. She's talking electoral politics and legislative politics and, frankly, agency politics. She's signaling to the SEC there and to anybody who's going to come in front of her committee. These are the things that you better be on top of because I'm on top of them. And not only am I on top of them, I've just put them in the middle of the presidential race. It's impressive stuff. All right, let's go to, this is also pretty funny. I'm not as much of a Bill Bradley fan, but if this is all he's doing, I'll be happy with it. Here's Bill Bradley on Chuck Todd. This was yesterday. I don't know what show it was.
Meet the Press Daily.
Meet the Press Daily? Is that what they call that show? I had no idea. This is Meet the Press Daily. And my favorite part about this is not just the understanding of the importance of the tax code and the belittling of Donald Trump, but also that Chuck Todd's assumptions as to who Donald Trump is are just flat out buried. I mean, I hope this is a learning moment for Chuck Todd so that he doesn't walk around thinking that Donald Trump... I mean, there was a time where people had some perspective of Donald Trump. Like, he's just a guy who has a TV show. There are bigger builders in New York. There are far more successful builders. There are builders who actually started without having their dad co-sign all their big deals. It just so happens this guy was like... There was a woman... Angelina or something like that out in Hollywood when I was out there in those days, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, who was married to a very wealthy guy who kept buying billboards with pictures of her and just saying her name on it. And people, who is that? That's who she is. She's that lady whose husband bought all those billboards. That's what Donald Trump is. But there's apparently some sense that Donald Trump is like moving in like royal circles. And this is what the amazing thing about this clip with Chuck Todd is that Bill Bradley just sort of looks on him like, no, listen.
I imagine as a New Jersey senator, you had plenty of interactions with Donald Trump, one form or another. And as a prominent New Yorker, you've had some interactions with him. Is this the same guy you've known for 30, 40 years, or is he different?
Pause it. What do you think Chuck Todd's getting? Like, has he changed? Has he changed? Or is he genuine? That's where this question is. Like, is he genuine? I mean, do we really know the real Donald Trump? As if that's relevant in any way. I mean, he was sort of racist before, and he's sort of racist now. But is he authentic, at least? Dial it back just a little bit.
With him. Is this the same guy you've known for 30, 40 years, or is he different?
I've never had any interactions with Donald.
None at all?
Nope. I've never.
Not even formally?
Hands with him.
No. No.
He clearly is in New Jersey. I certainly know Donald Trump, and you know, my Tax Reform Act in 1986 is what almost bankrupted him. But the reality is he...
Explain that. You were big behind tax reform in 86. Yes. Why did that almost bankrupt him? Explain how it did.
Because he is a below average real estate developer who almost went bankrupt because he got addicted to real estate tax shelters. And that means paying no tax. And we ended real estate tax shelters in 1986. And he called it a catastrophe. Well, it wasn't a catastrophe for the country. He'd have to pay some tax maybe.
But it was. It hurt his bottom line.
Definitely. I mean, if you built your empire on real estate tax shelters, and they're gone.
Well, there's still a lot of real estate, a lot of benefits that real estate developers get in the tax code.
I'm sure.
And how much of it, the speculation has been, okay, that's what he doesn't want to show. That can you be Can you get so many tax breaks the way you understand the tax code? And there probably is no better person I could find to do it, that you could pay zero, that your actual percent of taxes, your tax rate on income could be zero because you could make your income seem negative?
It's much more difficult to do now than it was before 1986. But it's not impossible to do. I mean, you know, I think the question is he worth $10 billion? He says he is. Well, the only way we know that is if he reveals his income tax returns and shows us how much money he's made, not in the last year, but over 10 years.
But is it a big deal, $2 billion versus $10 billion? What's the difference?
Well, as Everett Dirksen said, a billionaire, a billionaire. Pretty soon you're
talking
about
big money. I mean, he's a billionaire either way. I mean, does that, you think that matters? I mean, I'm just throwing it out there. You think the voters care?
I think people are working hard out there paying taxes. Mm-hmm. They'd like to know, is the person who seeks to lead them also doing his fair share?
So there it is. Bill Bradley shocking Chuck Todd that he didn't know Donald Trump for 30 or 40 years. Guy is a scumbag. Why would Bill Bradley want to deal with Donald Trump? He's in New Jersey. I mean, I guess if you needed to take some money from Donald Trump at one point. But legitimate people who are not going with their hat in hand, I don't know Donald Trump. No, Trump gives money to the Clintons. Just about every complaint that people have about the Clintons is the fact that she would take money from a Donald Trump. I mean, that is really right? I mean, that's one of the worst things you could say, I think, about the Clinton machine, is that they would take money from a Donald Trump. But that I found interesting. And also, I remember that tax reform. I was working at interning in an office with a guy who was on the Ways and Means Committee. And there was really nothing to do in that office, despite the fact that that huge omnibus tax thing was happening. My job was just to get him a case of Bush beer and packs of Merit cigarettes. That's what I did. I can't remember what that guy's name was. It was a congressman from like Quincy, Mass. All right, I want to go to this clip from Noam Chomsky before we go into the fun half. Micah played this on the member show the other day, and it's worth playing on the free show because for two reasons. One, this is a great description of what politics really are. A, and B, how someone whose politics couldn't be further from Hillary Clinton, at least in the context of this country, I think, but makes a decision to vote in a pragmatic and practical way and makes it clear that voting is not about self-expression. All right, here he is, Noam Chomsky on with Amy Goodman.
His latest book, Who Rules the World? So that's an interesting question for 2016, since the president of the United States occupies a very powerful role in the world, Noam. Who do you support?
Well, before answering that, let me just make one comment on elections. They're important. It does matter who sits in the White House, who appoints Supreme Court justices, who makes decisions about war and peace, about environment and so on, matters who's in Congress, matters who's in the state legislatures and so on. It matters, but it's not the main issue. We are kind of indoctrinated here into focusing all of our attention on energy on what button we push on in November every couple of years, which is not insignificant, but not the main issue. The main issue, what are the forces, domestic forces that are pressuring, acting to determine the kind of the choices that will be made, legislation will be passed, and so on.
All right, so just to be clear here, what he's saying is that, yeah, the personalities that you elect have some import. Person A versus person B is relatively important. But what's more important are the forces that they represent in the context of what they do in office. This is a subtle difference, but it is a difference between just the individual and the forces that have access and the ability to move that individual when they're in office. Right? I mean, because this is a guy who's not only to the left of Hillary Clinton, but to the left of Bernie Sanders, at least where Bernie Sanders is in his public life. I have no idea where he is privately, and I would imagine he's definitely to the left of Hillary Clinton, both publicly and privately. So this is the fundamental point that Chomsky's making here.
Now, of course, there's one force that's always going to be there: private, concentrated capital, corporate power, lobbyists, corporate lawyers, and so on, writing the legislations. Certainly, they're always funding the elections. They'll always be there. The question is there going to be a countervailing force? Is there going to be a force representing popular interests, needs, and concerns, defending themselves against what, in fact, is standard class-based assault against them? Now, elections can be used as a way of galvanizing and mobilizing the kinds of groups which will, could become persistent, dedicated, growing, constant forces that influence significantly what's done in the White House and Congress. The New Deal legislation of Roosevelt, for example, wouldn't have been passed. It wouldn't have even been initiated without militant labor action and other political action. Those are lessons to remember. But now going back to who should you push the button for, well, my own...
Pause it. So before we get to who you should push the button for, he's saying that corporate powers will always be there, and that's regardless of whether or not it's Hillary or Bernie or Trump or Paul Ryan or Gary Johnson or Jill Stein. These corporate forces are not going to go away. There's no way that Bernie Sanders gets into office and outlaws corporations. And even if he gets to appoint the next two, three Supreme Court justices, they're never going to outlaw corporations. Can they diminish the power of corporations? Perhaps. But ultimately, it's going to be outside forces that must be persistent. In other words, this is an ongoing fight. You know, part of what I think is frustrating to me about the whole Bernie or bust thing is this notion that, like, all we got to do is get Bernie in office. And then we're done. It's fixed, man. No, this is just an ongoing fight. It's an ongoing fight. And the point is, how do you just get enough so that you can, on different issues, you can push back against that always present corporate moneyed establishment force, whatever you want to call that. All right, let's get to his pick.
In the primaries, I would prefer Bernie Sanders. If Clinton is nominated and it comes to a choice between Clinton and Trump in a swing state, a state where it's going to matter which way you vote, I would vote against Trump. And by elementary arithmetic, that means you hold your nose and you vote Democrat. I don't think there's any other rational choice. Abstaining from voting, or say voting for, say, a candidate you prefer, a minority candidate, just amounts to a vote for Donald Trump, which I think is a devastating prospect for reasons I've already mentioned. So, but meanwhile, do the important things. The significance of the Sanders campaign, which is pretty remarkable, I think. It certainly surprised me. It's not radical. I mean, Sanders himself is pretty much a traditional New Deal Democrat. I don't say that in criticism. That's doesn't pretend to be anything else, and that's a breath of fresh air in the current generally right-wing climate. The importance of it is if it can be used, these energy and enthusiasm that's been organized and mobilized can be used to develop an ongoing popular movement, which will be a powerful force, no matter who's in office, to influence and direct the country in ways that are absolutely necessary, even for survival at this point. That's my view of it.
Elementary arithmetic. That means it's really elementary, and it's just math. So there's Noam Chomsky, classic neoliberal. How would you change that name to Noam Shilerimsky? Chomsky just doesn't get it, apparently, on our YouTube notes. All right, so much for the teaser Wednesday. By teaser Wednesday, we meant bonus Wednesday, where you get an extra 8 minutes. We're going to take a quick break, head into the fun half of the program. Remember, you can become a member of the Majority Report by going to jointhemajorityreport.com. Our members' deliveries has been a little bit hinky, but I think we're doing better today. We're in the middle of a transition, but not to worry. Sign up. We will take care of you. Just have a little bit of patience with us. jointhemajorityreport.com. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code, get 10% off. It's great coffee. We had so many new people who tried out Just Coffee during the 30% discount last month. People love this coffee. You can get the Majority Report blend. Of course, they have a bunch of other dark blends, light blends. Arabica. What's the other one? There's two different types of coffee. Robusto. I have no idea. But check it out, justcoffee.coop. Also, if you buy crap from Amazon, the least you can do is buy it through our link at majorityreportkickback.com. Majorityreportkickback.com. Click on the link, bookmark it. Always use it to buy your Amazon crap. We get a kickback. Or if you don't like Amazon, but you want stuff delivered to your door, delivered to your door and at a massive discount from where you can buy anywhere else. Jet.com. And you can go to Jet.com by going to MajorityReportKickback.com, clicking on the Jet.com link, bookmarking it, buying your Jet.com stuff from there, we get a kickback. All right, we'll be right back after this. 646-257-3920 is the number. 646-257-3920. Taking calls now.
Say, I believe.